श्रेष्ठ है भूतले वेदांत स्वामिन नामिने। नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्वेतगदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा। सो थैंक यू ऑल वेरी मच फॉर ज्वाइनिंग टुडे सेशन। वी हैव बीन डिस्कसिंग फ्रॉम द 8th चैप्टर ऑफ द 10th कैंटो ऑफ श्रीमद् भागवतम। द चैप्टर इज टाइटल्ड एज कृष्णा ईटिंग अर्थ, राइट? आई थिंक दैट्स द टाइटल ऑफ द चैप्टर, कृष्णा ईटिंग अर्थ और कृष्णा शोइंग द यूनिवर्सल फॉर्म इन हिज माउथ। व्हाट इज द टाइटल ऑफ द चैप्टर? लेट्स सी द टाइटल एंड देन आई विल डू अ क्विक। I'm not going to recap the whole chapter, it's a very long chapter. Yeah, Krishna shows the universal form within his mouth. That is the title of the chapter, even though he has shown it once before already in the previous chapter. But that was while he was quite young. And when Mother Yashoda was, you know, he was an infant. And at that point of time when Mother Yashoda was seeing small teeth coming from his mouth, you know, she was just happily looking at his into his mouth, and suddenly she saw the universal form. So this happens after Trinavarta's killing, after killing Trinavarta, while he was about 1 year old. And this second thing happens much later when he was running around and playing with his friends. He was a few years old. Anyways, so in this chapter we have till now seen Gargamuni is coming and how Nandamaraj receives Gargamuni and requests him to name his children. Then Gargamuni expresses his concern that, oh, what if Kamsa comes to know, it will be very dangerous. We should do it very secretly. And it is agreed upon that this will be carried out in the cowshed of Nandamaraj without even the knowledge of Nandamaraj's own relatives. Then Gargamuni performs the name-giving ceremony to Krishna and Balram. Famous verses about Gargamuni predicting that your son has already taken birth in the other yugas. So he asan varnas tayo kesya granato anu yugam tanu shuklo raktastata pita idani krishna tam gata. Like that it is mentioned, you know, how he appeared in various colors and a very elaborate commentary to these verses. And then it is mentioned that previously he appeared as Vasudeva's son also, therefore he is also called as Vasudeva and so on. He gives a name to Krishna while not explicitly indicating anything, but very indirectly sort of suggesting without his knowledge. And then he gives various names to Krishna. And then he predicts about what Krishna's activities which he will do. And all that he mentions. And then he also says that this is very elaborate purports on these predictions, that how he suggests that he will be equal to powers of Narayana, suggesting that he is a very, you know, Nanda Maharaj is supposed to take that, oh, he must be very much empowered by Lord Narayana like that. But what he indicates is actually Narayana is has some powers equal to Krishna, in the sense that Narayana is actually subordinate to Krishna, like that he was suggesting. So, and after speaking in this way, Gargamuni went home and Narada Muni was very pleased and he considered himself very fortunate. Then Krishna's crawling pastimes of how they used to crawl in the cow shed of Nanda Maharaj, and you know, their body would be smeared with the dust of Vrindavan, the mud of Vrindavan, which was mixed with urine and cow urine and cow dung, and which made their bodies look very, very beautiful. And they would crawl after some gopis, thinking that it was their mother. But when they would realize that it was not their mother, in great fear, they would crawl back to their mothers. You know, those things were the beautiful crawling pastimes were described. Okay, someone says that my voice is breaking. Is my voice breaking? Is my voice breaking? Okay. Okay, is it clear? Okay, instead of no, yes, because I don't know which for which question you are. Okay, yes, clear. Okay, so fine. Okay, thank you very much. And then while in the cowshed, they would also catch hold of the tails of the calves, and the calves would get fearful. They would start running away, and they would become all the more fearful. They would catch the tail of the calves even more tightly, and in this way, and then they would start dragging them all around, and finally the gopis would have a lot of fun, and finally they would come and relieve Krishna and Balram. You know, those very beautiful pastimes we saw. And Mother Yashoda always would be in anxiety, not always, many times would be in great anxiety, because they would be playing with you know, the teeth of the dogs, and you know, the horns of the cows and monkeys. Sometimes there would be some you know, knives and other things lying around. They would go and play with them. So she would never be able to, you know, she would not be able to concentrate on her household duties, you know, because she would be very much thinking about Krishna's safety and like that. And then, you know, the butter stealing pastimes of Krishna and Balram and the complaints of the gopis was described in great detail after they started walking. They would play with other children, and thus the gopis became very blissful. So they would often go and complain to Mother Yashoda about his stealing butter and milk and other milk products. And very, very, very sweet commentary by Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, you know, elaborating on their complaints, and what, you know, Mother Yashoda's response, and sometimes Krishna's response. How he would release the calves even before the milking time, and they would go and you know, drink all the milk. They would go and drink all the milk, and the owner would become very much angry, and Krishna would just smile, and they would forget everything. And when there would be no opportunity to steal, he would go and pinch the children and make them cry, or scratch them with his nails and make them cry. Like that, you know, so many other such things. Sometimes he would distribute it to the monkeys. And when the monkeys would also not eat, he would break the pots. And like that, in this way. And sometimes he would talk back to the owner, house owner, and he says that if he did not find the yogurt or butter, he would say, "I will come back tomorrow, and if I don't see butter or milk here, I am going to burn your house down with a flaming torch." And along with all the relatives and children, I will burn your house. Like that, he would threaten them, and he would make the small children cry by scratching them with his nails, and so on. And even when the pots were hung from the ceiling, they would put grinding mortars and stools and all planks and all that, climb them, poke holes in the pot, and drink the contents. And sometimes if the pots were kept in dark rooms, they would brighten the rooms with their own jewels and steal the contents. Okay, like that. I mean, I would really love to read the commentary again, but then we have time only till 1:15, so we will not get to move further. So let's move ahead. And sometimes when Krishna is caught and the master chastises him, he would chastise the master back. And sometimes he would pass urine and stool in a neat place. And then these are the complaints by the gopis. And they will say, but now you see how he is sitting just like a good boy. And looking at his beautiful face, neither the gopis nor Mother Yashoda would want to chastise him only. Like that. Then the pastime of eating earth, that was the next episode. So this is where we were discussing on the other day. One day, the Gopas and Balramji came and reported to Mother Yashoda that Krishna had eaten earth. She became very anxious for his welfare. And she caught hold of Krishna's hands to look into his mouth. And she spoke to him as follows. And she said, why are you so restless, Krishna? Why are you so restless that you have eaten dirt? And your own friends, including Balramji, they are telling, it's not that someone else who is envious of you is complaining against you. Your own friends are telling. Now you may say, my own friends are reporting against me because they want me to get a good beating from you. But what about Balramji? Your own brother, Dauji, is telling that you have eaten dirt. What he has against you? If he is telling, then that must be true, right? Why is he reporting against you? So, Krishna replied, I didn't eat dirt. All of them are speaking lies. Just look into my mouth and see for yourself. Just look into my mouth and see for yourself. They are all speaking lies. This is not true. So Krishna said, I didn't eat dirt. And Srila Vishnuchakravarti says, to tell a lie for fear of being beaten is very natural for a child, and it nourishes the vatsalya bhav or parental affection. When a small child, of course, when a grown-up person, tells a lie, then it irritates the father. It generates raudra rasa in the But when a small child tells a lie, not knowing that he has been very clearly observed and he has left very clear trails of his wrongdoing, but still out of fear of being beaten, if he tells a lie, it invokes a kind of humor, a very joyful humor in the parents' mind, in their hearts. And it really enhances their Vatsalya rasa. So this arises in the devotee because of Krishna's inherent affection for his devotees. The Lord's quality of Bhakta Vatsalya is greater than any of his other qualities such as purity, mercy, or truthfulness. As Krishna's telling a lie springs from his Bhakta Vatsalya, it is not a fault. Rather, it is the crown jewel of all great qualities. So this is where we had a long discussion the other day that Krishna possessing qualities does not mean that he has to exhibit all those qualities. So therefore, one cannot question how can the absolute truth tell a lie. So here, telling that lie enhances the Vatsalya bhav, and it gives great joy to Mother Yashoda. Okay, so therefore, because it gives great joy to Mother Yashoda, that takes the supreme precedence in Krishna's heart. For that, even though he may be criticized for telling a lie, being the Supreme Lord, Supreme Absolute Truth, how could he tell a lie? So we were discussing the other day that for Krishna to give the same joy to Mother Yashoda without having to tell a lie is possible. He could have given the same joy to Mother Yashoda without telling a lie. Similarly, for Krishna, he could have defeated Bhishma or given joy to Bhishma without breaking his own vow of that he had taken a vow that he would never pick up a weapon. But he picked up the chariot's wheel and charged towards Bhishma. He did not have to do that. For him to defeat Bhishma, he could have easily done it without picking up any weapon. But he wants to show to this whole world. He wants to show to this whole world not his supreme power of Satya Sankalpa Shakti. Just by desiring, I can accomplish anything. You know, enough. Not as Krishna. As Krishna, he does not want to show his power. As Krishna, he is willing to show, for me, the top priority is to give pleasure to my devotee. Okay. For that, if people say that the Supreme Absolute Truth is fearful, yes, I am fearful. I am fearful of displeasing my devotee. I am fearful of not giving full pleasure to my devotee. So Krishna is not acting as if he is fearful. Krishna is actually fearful of Mother Yashoda. Oh, but omniscient, omnipotent Krishna, why should it be fear? Why should he be fearful of Mother Yashoda? Oh, there is no need for the service of that omniscience potency. The Sarvagyata Shakti service is not needed. So, Krishna does not know, does not remember at this point he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He only thinks that he is a small boy completely under the mercy of his mother, and his mother may beat him up at any time. So his all-knowing potency, his service is not needed now. His or her service is not needed now. So, Yoga Maya covers Krishna. And Krishna is totally under the control of his mother. He is now really afraid. Out of fear, he is telling a lie. That no, no, I didn't eat the dirt. And seeing this, Mother Yashoda's Vatsalya Bhav increases, her love for Krishna multiplies many times. So this is where we ended our discussion the other day. And now we are going to continue this pastime further. As yesterday, someone please remind me at around 1:10, because 1:15 I have to rush because there is Brahmachari class here at Chowpatty. So, before we start today's discussion, if there are any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share as add, based on whatever we have discussed today, we will take. Okay. If there is none, yes, Vasundhara Mataji.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranams. Prabhuji, yesterday you made a a reference to the Damodara, the robe binding by Mother Yashoda. Two fingers short. I was not able to understand, Prabhuji. What does this signify by meaning two fingers short, Prabhuji?
One is the effort of the sadhaka, second is the mercy of Krishna. So both are needed. The effort of the sadhaka to please Krishna and the mercy of Krishna, both are needed for success in a spiritual
Wow.
endeavor. That's what it
Wow,
is.
so beautiful. Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Okay. Okay. So let's continue. Yes, Keshav Priyama.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam. The pastimes we are discussing here now, Prabhuji, like it all looks like in the villages of India, no, Prabhuji, most of the things are happening here now. So all these things we are trying to imitate the Vrajabhumi, is it, Prabhuji? Like souls want to have a life like Krishna. Like whatever we discussed regarding Krishna, it is all happening in almost every village here now, Prabhuji. Village
Yeah.
life.
Yeah. That is why he appeared in the form of a human, so he performed human like pastimes only.
No, no, Prabhuji. What I'm asking is, like, we are also having this experience here, no, Prabhuji. What we could relate, like, maybe for foreigners when they read, it's totally different, Prabhuji. But for us in Indians who are brought up in village background, we know all these things, no, Prabhuji. Like cows, they're catching hold of cows and running. Like village, many children are like living a life like that only, no, Prabhuji. What we are discussing here. So that's what I'm asking. Is it like,
I'm just asking, what is your question? I
Prabhuji,
understand.
my question is like, do we all are given experience here by our wish? Like, we jivas, we have come out of Krishna. We not a tasted of Vrajabhumi, no, Prabhuji, but we are having experience similar to that here, no, Prabhuji. So it's a Krishna is giving that.
Not similar, but somewhat similar, but still, if we have properly understood who Krishna is through understanding the his opulence properly through the teachings of Bhagavad Gita and the earlier sections of Bhagavatam, then we will be able to properly appreciate with proper respect the pastimes which Krishna is performing here in village. Otherwise, if we are just from a village and Krishna is performing these pastimes, we may think that Krishna is just like any other small
Yes,
boy.
Prabhuji.
His pastimes
Yes.
are very sweet, like that.
Yeah, Prabhuji. Okay, Prabhuji. Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Yes, Sri Vidya Mata.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. So this is regarding that, you know, the nice description of Krishna, how Krishna is getting life and how it increases that Vatsalya Bhava of Mother Yashoda. But from the Bhagavad Gita perspective, from the perspective as a newcomer, like, you know, Krishna, right, he says in the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, like, Name Parthasi Kartavya, all that he does everything for us so that others can follow him, right? So how do we actually reconcile both these things? You know, like where Krishna says he is leading the others to follow them perfectly. Here, but Krishna saying, guys, what if, you know, somebody who is not mature try to follow this system? Because such type of questions, queries do come to us on the frequency, you see. So how do we come? So is it, can we take that Bhagavad Gita shlokas only for kartavya, only for the putra duties? And this is for the bhava, for the rasa purpose. So should we have that intelligence to differentiate it?
Well, we may have intelligence. The best thing is to take guidance of the acharyas, because none of these books we are expected to read and understand by ourselves. We are supposed to read it and understand through the illuminations of the acharyas. So, when the acharyas illuminate, then we do understand what to follow, what to accept, what to just appreciate but not follow. Where Krishna is performing an activity for so that others are inspired to follow, and where he is performing an activity just for giving pleasure to the living entities. So therefore, even like for example, the Vrajavasis, even in later stages when one becomes qualified to practice Raganuga Bhakti, there also the Acharyas say which actions of the Vrajavasis should be followed, which actions should not be followed. You know, so for example, the Vrajavasis never accepted a guru. The Vrajavasis never worshipped Tulsi Maharani. The Vrajavasis never followed Ekadashi Vrata. The Vrajavasis worshipped some demigods sometimes. So now none of these things are expected to be followed either by Vaidisadakas, neither by Vaidisadakas nor by Raganuga Sadakas for that matter. So, how do we know which to follow, which not to follow? Actually, the Acharyas have to illuminate. So, ultimately, if someone wants to understand Bhagavatam or the stories of Bhagavatam by themselves without the guidelines of the Acharyas, they can practically misunderstand any pastime. So, they can understand Krishna's childhood pastime, they can misunderstand Krishna's creation pastime, they can misunderstand Krishna's demon killing pastime. Any pastime they can misunderstand. They can misunderstand Krishna's Rasalila pastime. So therefore, ultimately our thing is we understand through the illuminations of the Acharyas, which are the things that Krishna performs just for the giving pleasure to the Vrajavasis, and which are the actions that he performs for as an obligation, so that people do not give up their prescribed duties. Name parthastikam kartavyam trishu lokeshu kinchana nanavaptam avaptavyam vartayeva cha karma. But still I do, because yadihyaham na vartayam jatu karman yatandritah mama vartmanu vartante manushya partha sarvashah. Because if I don't follow it properly, then people will take my wrong example and they will also not do. So, ideally, if one is not guided by the guidelines of proper acharyas, one can misunderstand any action or instruction of Krishna. That is the understanding. Is that relevant, Madhu?
Yes, Prabhuji, thank you very much.
Great. Okay, so let's continue now. Let's see what happens to Krishna. He has told a lie to Mother Yashoda. So what Mother Yashoda is going to do to Krishna? Okay. Mother Yashoda spoke to Krishna. She said, यदि एवं तर्हि व्यादेहि युक्तः स भगवान् हरिः व्यादत्ता व्याहतैश्वर्यः क्रीडा मनुजबालकः. मदर यशोद चैलेंज, इफ यू हैव नॉट ईटन अर्थ देन ओपन योर माउथ वाइड. यदि एवं तर्हि व्यादेहि इति उक्तः. मदर यशोद सेड, ओके, इफ यू हैव नॉट ईटन देन ओपन योर माउथ. And when challenged by his mother in this way, Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, Sa Bhagavan Harihi, Krida Manuja Balakaha, to exhibit pastimes like a human child, Vyadatta, he opened his mouth. Avyahata Aishwarya, only two words are there mentioned, but see the translation that Prabhupada gives in a very purported translation. So he says, although the Supreme Personality of God, Krishna, who is full of all opulences, did not disturb his mother's parental affection, his opulence was automatically displayed. For Krishna's opulence is never lost at any stage, but is manifest at the proper time. Okay. So Krishna is all Aishwarya Purna, Shadaishwarya Purna. But not all Aishwaryas need to be manifested at all times. Only depending on the need of the particular pastime, Krishna manifests particular Aishwaryas. when challenged by Mother Yashoda to open his mouth, Krishna opened and he showed opulence, all opulences within his mouth. But it's not disturbing his mother's parental affection, is not directly mentioned in the verse itself. The verse does not directly mention that he did not affect his mother's parental affection. It is mentioned that he showed all his opulences within his mouth. So here Srila Vishnu Chakravarti says, being afraid of punishment, Krishna told a lie so that Yashoda could not detect his fault. However, how could he do this? If Krishna were to open his mouth, the evidence would be found. Because he did eat mud. If he opened his mouth, Mother Yashoda would see the mud in his mouth and he would be caught. So the answer is given. Krishna possesses unimpeded non-contradictory power, avyahata aishwaryaha. He whose power is never conquered does not display this power because of the influence of sweetness of love. But looking for service, it finds some opportunity. Even though in Vraja, his Aishwarya Shakti does not find seva in Vraja. But sometimes the Supreme Lord, whose power is never conquered, if you say who is more powerful, Krishna or Lord Narayana, one need not be surprised if most people say Lord Narayana is more powerful, because that is quite, you may say that it is quite evident, because there is manifestation of his power very clearly. But Krishna, his power is never impeded, but only when needed, that the service of that power is requested by Krishna. So in Vraja, because the service of his sweetness Shakti is only Madhurya Shakti is only always often needed. Therefore, Aishwarya has to really wait a long time to serve Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan or in Bhauma Vrindavan for that matter. So, one rare chance this Aishwarya Shakti got an opportunity to serve Krishna in Vrindavan. So, here the word that is mentioned is Avyahata Aishwarya. Avyahata means never diminishing. Aishwarya means power. Krishna, whose power never diminishes, for the first or one of the very rare instances in Vrindavan, he requests for the service of Aishwarya Shakti. So, inspired by the boys, Satya Sankalpa, whose very desire must be fulfilled. This unimpeded Aishwarya on its own manifested the universal form, and Yashoda, lost in astonishment, forgot to scold her son. So this is a very interesting explanation by Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, insight. Because very interesting explanation would seemingly suggest that Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur is presenting his imagination or speculation. Now, this is an insight that Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur is giving. Why did Krishna show the universal form within the mouth, within his own mouth to Mother Yashoda. This is very interesting. Just hear it. This will just all our material logic will totally crash. Krishna showed the universal form to Mother Yashoda within his mouth out of fear of Mother Yashoda. Because he was fearful that Mother Yashoda would scold him. And he was fearful of Mother Yashoda's chastisement. Out of fear, he manifested the universal form within the mouth. The same person who is the controller of millions of universes, who is capable of manifesting the universal form in his mouth, is afraid of Mother Yashoda. And it's not that Mother Yashoda is, you know, she can open her mouth and there will be millions of universal forms seen. He's a simple gopi. He's a simple gopi. Samam vimoheti bhirapiyat bibeti. Kunti Maharani was simply astonished. Kunti Maharani was astonished. Who are we? She said, this boy Krishna is the same person seeing whom fear personified is afraid, but this Krishna is afraid of Mother Yashoda. This totally bewilders me, he says. So now here, Krishna is opening his mouth out of fear of Mother Yashoda, because the clay that he ate, the mud that he ate was there within his mouth. So he wanted to escape chastisement and punishment of Mother Yashoda. Out of fear, he showed the universal form within his mouth. Can you imagine? Only for such purposes, Krishna invokes his Aishwarya Shakti. Arey, please come to my help. Please help me escape the chastisement by Mother Yashoda. Somehow Mother Yashoda should be distracted so that she does not chastise me. So what does the Aishwarya Shakti do? The Aishwarya Shakti manifests the universal form within the mouth of Krishna. Why? So that Mother Yashoda can be distracted so that she will not chastise Krishna for that purpose. So this is just amazing. Inspired by the boy's power of Satyasankalpa, this unimpeded Aishwarya on its own manifested the universal form, and Yashoda, lost in astonishment, forgot to scold her son. So, for that purpose only Krishna showed the universal form within his mouth to Mother Yashoda. Was it necessary for Krishna to taste the sweetness of prema and thus have to show the fear of being beaten? So what was the necessity? What was it necessary for Krishna to taste the sweetness of prema and thus have to show the fear of being beaten? The question is, oh, he could have just stood there without fear, taking the help of his Aishwarya Shakti, thinking that I am the Lord. So, he says that, see, Krishna is the possessor of all kinds of powers. So, he might have as well stood there without any fear and showed the universal form and all his opulence to Mother Yashoda. She would become scared. Why did he have to become fearful of Mother Yashoda? And the answer is found in the words, Krida Pradana Manuja Balaka, which means that Krishna specifically took the form of a human child to perform many playful, sweet pastimes in Braja, and he was not acting. So he is not at all acting. He is not acting. He was really fearful of Mother Yashoda. And that is why here is where Krishna's Aishwarya Shakti is manifested, but his Sarvagyata Shakti, there is no need for it. Hey, you are the Supreme Lord, you don't have to fear an ordinary cowherd woman. No, that is not needed. Because Krishna wants to experience the parental love of his mother. It gives him so much joy. And sometimes, you know, that may come in the form of chastisement. Krishna loves it. Because that expression of prema, vatsalya prema, is a manifestation of his own swarup shakti, which gives him great pleasure. So, therefore, Yogamaya covers. So, Yogamaya covers even Krishna. So, like that. Okay, there are some questions in the chat box. What would be the role of Yogamaya in this case? Yeah, Yogamaya covered Krishna only. That Krishna only did not remember that that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and he need not fear anyone. You know, even fear personified is afraid of him. And if he is capable of showing the universal form within his mouth, then what need does he have to fear an ordinary woman? You know, but Krishna does not remember it. Krishna does not understand it. So, so this is Yogamaya covers this. Okay, now next question. That Krishna is not acting as a child, but is really a child because of Yogamaya is brought out by Vishnu Charitakur. How to understand when the Shakti is greater than the Shaktiman? The Shakti is never greater than the Shaktiman. But when the Shaktiman desires the Shakti to cover him sometimes, like sometimes the father may tell the son, okay, you tie my eyes with a black cloth. Okay, you tie my eyes with a black cloth so that we can play hide and seek. You know, he really wanted to do it because he really wants to, you know, give that pleasure to the child. Not that he wants to keep his half eye open and always keep the child, you know, keep catching the child like that. He really wants, the father wants his eyes to be properly closed with a black cloth so that he can really sometimes stumble and fall and go and hit the wall trying to catch his son. You know, so that the son feels genuinely happy. And when the father sees the son genuinely happy, he feels so happy. Okay. So, so now the son who has tied the eyes of the father, has he become more powerful than the father? No. It is the father who asked him to tie the eyes of, tie his own eyes. So similarly, the energies of Krishna are given that choice, are given that permission. Yogamaya is said, okay, whatever is needed for this Leela you may do. If that means, you know, my eyes should be closed or if I should be put under illusion, so be it. I want to experience this Leela, the joy of this Leela. I want to go through all the emotions of this Leela. And I want my devotees to experience all the emotions of this Leela. So, yeah. So he says that it looks like Krishna is the script writer and the director and Yogamaya is the producer. Yeah. But Krishna is the... to some extent this is true. Krishna is the script writer, but he writes the script and chooses to forget it also so that he can experience the perfect emotions. The script writer and the director they know the script and everything. So they know which scene is going to come next. So that excitement may not be there. The excitement may be there only for the audience. But here Krishna, he writes the script, hands it over and forgets the script. And then Yogamaya takes over. So, or Yogamaya knows what gives perfect pleasure to Krishna. So she orchestrates everything. Whenever Krishna needs to know something, she will orchestrate the omniscience potency to inform Krishna the necessary things. Like we saw in the case of Putana. And everyone, the Yogamaya's job was, none of the Vrajavasis should identify Putana. But in this particular case, Krishna should identify Putana. Okay. So, whenever the demons would come, Krishna would get the notification by the Sarvagyata Shakti. Rest of the times, when not needed, Yogamaya would say, you wait for your service. It is not the time for you to serve. Just wait for your service. So, Sarvagyata Shakti keeps waiting. Whenever it is needed, she will come to do her service. So, Yogamaya orchestrates all these things. So therefore, yeah, in one sense you can say Krishna is the director, but actually Yogamaya is the director, and because she perfectly knows Krishna's heart, that this is what Krishna would like to enjoy here, and for that perfect experience, if Krishna needs to know, she would let him know. If Krishna need not know, she would not let him know. But Yogamaya has been empowered to engage in this way by Krishna. Like that. So it's not that he writes every script and he knows every script. So therefore there is no excitement for him. No. It's not like that. He has empowered Yogamaya to write the script also. So, and Yogamaya knows Krishna. Krishna's heart, what he wants to enjoy. So she orchestrates everything. So therefore, Krishna and his devotees both experience all kinds of excitement. All kinds of excitement. You know, all kinds of emotions. So like yesterday we were discussing in our Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Krishna, according to the description of Brihad Bhagavatamrita in Goloka Vrindavan, Krishna briefly leaves to Mathura. Akrura comes and Akrura takes Krishna, and there is a very heart-wrenching description of how when Akrura comes to take the kind of emotional turmoil the Vrajavasis go through, and the whole description is beautifully described, and then Krishna comes back after a short while from Mathura and fully satisfies the Vrajavasis to the extent that they forget that anything of that sort had ever happened. They forget, and after they forget, then after some time Akrura comes again. Even though in this previous visit Krishna had gone to Mathura, killed Kamsa, enthroned Ugrasen, released Vasudev and Devaki, and pacified all the Yadus, and comes back to Vrindavan, and then, he saves the Vrajavasis who are at the verge of death, and he spends quality time with them, gives them great pleasure, makes them forget everything, and after some time, Akrura comes again. Why did Akrura come? Kamsa sent him. Kamsa sent him again. No one remembers that Akrura ever came. No one remembers that Krishna went and killed Kamsa. Krishna, somehow Kamsa is revived back so that the pastime can happen again and again. So no one remembers. Akrura comes, and then again the same thing the Vrajavasis go through. the same turmoil and everything, and then Krishna somehow pacifies them, goes there, and then at the verge of death, he comes back to Vrindavan, and you know, he spends such quality time with them, gives them such great pleasure that they forget that anything of that sort had ever happened before. And after some time, Akrura comes again. You know, like that. So similarly, you know, even Krishna forgets. Krishna does not know that Akrura is going to come. If needed, he will know. If not needed for that particular pastime, he will not know. So like that. So this is Rite Artham Yat Pratiyeta Na Pratiyeta Chatmani Tad Vidyat Atmano Mayam Yata Baso Yata Tama. This is the nature of whether it is Yoga Maya or Mahamaya. Yoga Maya also covers certain things from the vision of vision or memory of the perfected devotees or even Krishna for that matter. So that a particular pastime can happen perfectly, giving perfect pleasure to Krishna and his devotees. Like we saw the other day, even in Lord Narasimha's pastime, that Mother Lakshmi, when after Narasimhadev kills Hiranyakashipu, he is in such a great anger, you know, and Mother Lakshmi, the demigod says, Mother Lakshmi, he is your consort, you know, he is your beloved, so please go and pacify him. Mother Lakshmi says, I don't know who this personality is, I have never seen him, you know, I have never seen him like this, I won't go. I mean, what do you mean you have never seen? It is Nitya Leela. You know, it has been, it just now happened in every day of Brahma. Lord Narasimha's pastime happens in the same universe. And as soon as Narasimhadev's pastime ends in one universe, it starts in the next universe. Then the next universe, in the next universe, in the next universe. Like that, it is Nitya Leela. So, just now you saw your, but still Mother Lakshmi feels, no, I have never seen. Because Yoga Maya covers. So that she can, every time that episode is played, the full-fledged emotions of astonishment, fear, anger experienced by Narasimhadev towards Hiranyakashipu. Okay, the first time, okay. But again and again, how can you have the same anger? Yoga Maya ensures that you don't remember. Tatapi tasyangri yugam navam navam. Yoga Maya ensures that every time the episode takes place, you know, there is a sense of complete freshness, as if everyone feels that this is the first time such a situation has come up. And then they perform the pastime as if it is the first time it is happening. So, like that. Anyways, so it's not that the energy is superior to the energetic. The energetic has empowered the energy with some amount of, you can say, autonomous powers, but that has been empowered by Krishna only. Krishna has allowed the energy, Yoga Maya. Yeah, you can act in this particular way. You can take a call here, like that. Okay, so out of fear of Mother Yashoda, Krishna opens his mouth to show, somehow I have to escape. So when he wants to escape Mother Yashoda's chastisement, he orders his, you know, Aishwarya Shakti. Okay, show the universal form. She will get distracted and then she will forget to chastise me, like that. So, Now, when he opened his mouth and showed the universal form, what did she see? Did we write, summarize? Yeah. Okay. Satatra dadrishe vishvam jagatsta snuchakam dishah sadridvipabdi bhugolam savayvagnindu tarakam savayvagnindu tarakam ज्योतिश्चक्रम जलम तेजो नभस्वान् वियदेव च वैकारिकाणीन्द्रियाणि मनोमात्रा गुणास्त्रयः एतद्विचित्रम् सहजीवकाल स्वभावकर्माशयलिङ्गभेदम् सूनोस्तनौ वीक्ष्य विधारितास्ये व्रजम् सहात्मानम् अवाप शङ्काम्. सो इट् इस् डिस्क्रैब्ड्. When Krishna opened his mouth wide by the order of Mother Yashoda, she saw within his mouth all moving and non-moving entities, outer space and all directions, along with mountains, islands, oceans, the surface of the earth, the blowing wind, fire, the moon and the stars. She saw the planetary systems, water, light, air, sky and creation by transformation of Ahankar. She also saw the senses, the mind, the sense perception, and the three qualities of goodness, passion, and ignorance. She saw the time allotted for living entities. She saw natural instinct and the reactions of karma. And she saw the desires and different varieties of bodies, moving and non-moving. Seeing all these aspects of the cosmic manifestation, along with herself and Vrindavan Dham, she became doubtful and fearful of her son's nature. She saw everything of this world within his mouth, including Vraja and herself looking into his mouth. So seeing this, what happened to her? It is mentioned, seeing this, she became doubtful and fearful of her son's nature. She became doubtful and fearful of her son's nature. Okay. Srila Vishwanatha Thakur says, according to the prayers of Lord Brahma, Yashoda did not see the universe in Krishna's mouth, but in his belly. So this is another explanation. You know, Brahmaji, according to Brahma, she saw it in his belly. Jagat means moving and Sthasnu means immobile living entities. Kam means Antariksha or Bhuvarloka, that is celestial sky. Sa Adri refers to the whole earth along with its mountains, islands and oceans. Sa Vayuhu refers to the blowing wind which moves the planets. Nabaswan means the outer space. Vaikarikani is the demigod in charge of the senses. Gunatrayaha are the three material qualities, Sattva, Rajas and Tamas. And Yashoda could see these formless things by seeing the form of their presiding deities and in when they assumed gross form. So she saw the controlling deities also and their manifested form also. You know, she saw water as water and the sense devata controlling water, Varuna, also she saw like that. So just give me 1 second. Just give me 1 second. Yeah, I'm sorry. Okay. So she saw everything. So at the same time, Yashoda saw the Jiva and Kala, which agitates the gunas. Swabhava, the cause of transformation, and karma, the cause of birth, and the resultant action and desire for material enjoyment, everything starting from the initial, sarga, the creation, how the glands of Mahavishnu has this kala, karma, and swabhava, which falls in the prakriti, and the gunas get agitated, and there is further transformation that happens, and how it transforms into Mahatattva. Everything she is seeing there is in the mouth of Krishna. Why Krishna is doing all this? Because he somehow wants to distract Mother Yashoda so that she does not chastise him. That's all. So, actually in Vrindavan, it is Madhurya which drives Aishwarya. So here, the sweet pastime of mother of Krishna wanting to escape the chastisement of Mother Yashoda has to be experienced. For that, Krishna is utilizing his Aishwarya. Otherwise, he will not utilize. So, Krishna showed the variegated universe within which exists all the different forms of bodies. Tanav means in Krishna's body, but specifically in his belly. So, here it is mentioned that through his mouth that she saw into the belly of Krishna, and into his belly she saw all these things. Into his belly she saw all these things. So, through Krishna's wide open mouth, Yashoda saw all these marvelous things in Krishna's belly. She also saw herself along with her son and husband in Braja. Brahma's words indicate that this vision was of this particular universe. So, what she saw was of this particular universe. The universe was simultaneously inside Krishna's belly and outside as well by the inconceivable power of Yoga Maya. By the inconceivable power of Yoga Maya, the universe was simultaneously within the belly of Krishna and outside the belly also. So, by showing himself within the universe and by pervading the universe at the same time, Krishna showed his limited and unlimited natures. So by showing himself within this universe, he showed his limited nature. Because within his mouth, he also showed that Mother Yashoda was looking into the mouth of Krishna. But at the same time, by showing the universe within himself, and by pervading the universe, he showed his unlimited nature also. So, the vision of the Lord in the universe and the universe in the Lord, which was meant for the Shanta Bhaktas or reverential devotees, was shown to Yashoda, whose lotus feet are touched by the heads of the Madhurya Bhaktas, intimate confidential devotees. So, this kind of universal form description and all are showing is meant for invoking on reverence in people who have some Shanta Rasa, Shanta Rati. But this was shown to Mother Yashoda. Okay, and what is the effect? Let's see. So, upon attaining this amazing vision, Yashoda began to worry about her son. So, for Shanta Bhaktas, it will increase their Shanta Rasa. More and more on reverence, it will increase. But when Krishna showed this to Mother Yashoda, this only increased her vatsalya. He started worrying about her son. Okay, he started worrying about her son. So, any quick discussion points, comments, questions on this particular theme? Anything anyone would like to share as add before we move forward? Okay, it's 1:07 right now. Okay, let's take, maybe we may have time for one or two more verses. Let's see. Okay. Then she continues. Kim swapna etad uta deva maya kim va madiyo bata buddhi mohaha ato amushyaiva mamarbakasya yah kashchana utpattika atma yogaha. So Mother Yashoda was thinking to herself, kim swapna etad, oh, is this some kind of a dream? Uta deva maya, or is it an illusory creation by the external energy? She is not able to think that, oh, my son could be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. No. She is thinking, oh, is this a dream? Or is it an illusory creation by the external energy? Kimva madiyo bata buddhi mohaha. Or is it just an a creation of my own intelligence? Ata amushyaiva mama arbakasya kaschana autpattika atma yoga. Or is it some natural mystic power of my child? So she is not even thinking that, oh, maybe my child would be some supreme god. She is not thinking that. At the most, she thinks maybe in the past life he must have been a yogi, and because of which, you know, he has some mystic powers, maybe. That's why he's showing. That's why I'm able to see this universe within his belly, like that she was thinking. So she was thinking, Mother Yashoda thought to herself. Okay. She thought that, is this a dream or an illusory creation by Maya, or is it a creation by my own intelligence? Or is it that my son possesses some mystic powers? Like that she was thinking. So Yashoda began to argue with herself about the cause of the vision. So she was thinking, well, I am not dreaming because my eyes are wide open. Am I dreaming? She was thinking. Then she said, how can I be dreaming? My eyes are open. Oh, maybe is this some illusion created by the demigods? She was thinking. Then she thought, well, I am such an insignificant person. The demigods are such great personalities. Don't they have any other job to do than to create illusion in such an insignificant person like me? Like that she reconciled. Oh, why would the demigods delude an insignificant person like me? It cannot be that. And she thought, oh, is it some mental derangement that I have? She said, no, because my mind is stable and in good working order. I don't have any mental derangement. I don't see that. So then she thought, oh, this vision must be due to some mystic power of my son. Because Garga Muni said he would have qualities like Narayana. Maybe this is one such quality. Maybe he has some mystic powers. Like that she was thinking. Then she continues. Ato yatavan. Okay, is it 1:15? It's 1:12. I still have 3 minutes. Okay, let's. Okay, yeah, I will not take because I'll become late for the class. I will have to go and set up my laptop and all that. Anyways, so I think we will pause here. We will continue this discussion on Thursday. So tomorrow afternoon we will have a Brihad Bhagavatamta. So we will pause here. So thank you all very much for your patient listening and your enthusiastic participation. And I apologize for ending the session early. So monthly once when I am at Chowpatty, so the afternoon sessions will have to essentially be cut short because I will have to rush for the Brahmachari class. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur Pad ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.